So a conviction this week in a federal criminal court in Brooklyn ended a two-week trial in a case that involved no detainees from Guantanamo, no complicating questions of torture during interrogations, no special military tribunals. And in this case, the threat to civilians in court testimony was frighteningly real.
This trial has afforded a rare glimpse into the inner workings of Al-Qaeda, how they look for those who have connections to our homeland, how they recruit those who are disaffected and seeking a place to go.
That's Loretta Lynch, U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York. The man on trial was Adis Medunjanin, a 28-year-old naturalized U.S. citizen born in Bosnia who attended high school in Queens. In 2008, he traveled to Pakistan, where he was recruited by Al-Qaeda. After attending a training camp, he was encouraged to plan an attack on the New York City subway system. Unlike a lot of federal terrorism cases where the investigators seem to be central to the plot planning, this attack developed, or prospective attack, developed with the direct encouragement of Taliban and Al-Qaeda operatives. Bob Henley, contributing editor for Politics and Investigations for our co-producer WNYC, has been covering the trial. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Good morning.
So this case was, you know, very, very different from the kinds of Guantanamo-related cases and all those complications. What made this case unique in your view?
For years, the United States had prided itself on the fact that unlike London and Paris, where ethnic areas are stratified, there was a thought in the United States we had a social cohesion. We never thought that folks with ties to the United States could develop this alternative narrative that would be sympathetic with Al-Qaeda. It's important also to mention the Taliban never showed up so much in this trial as Al-Qaeda. We had a situation where Mr. Majunuddin and his two high school classmates, Najibullah Azizi, Zarin Ahmadzadeh, they, of their own volition, and that's key, John, of their own volition, managed to get to Pakistan, then on to Waziristan, get training, and then come back, according to the prosecution, and try to put use the benefit of the U.S. passport to come up with a plot to use a suicide bomb attack to extract the most casualties possible in the New York City subway. So that was different. There was no government informant, as you say. And so that's something that we also got to hear from other self-confessed terrorists. You had Bryant Neil Vinas and then Sajid Badat, who testified from England, talking about exactly what was things were like in the Al-Qaeda camp. And what was fascinating is we really saw all of the arc of it, how actually Al-Qaeda's footprint was shrinking, because the veterans of this terrorism effort who started back a few years talked about lots of people in the camp. By the time these three guys from Queens came, they were the only people who were training in the camp.
Very interesting. So you definitely get the mechanics of the homegrown radicalization phenomenon that Ray Kelly at the NYPD has talked about for years. That's one thing that's unique about this case. The other thing that's unique, listen to Robert Gottlieb, who's Medunjanin's attorney, speaking about the fact that this was tried in a federal civilian court.
The message is this case and every case in this country, if we are true to our ideals, will be heard by citizens, verdicts decided by citizens, not in military commissions and secret tribunals or star chambers. That's not what this country is about.
Remember Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and that trial that was supposed to happen in Lower Manhattan? Boy, this is a far cry from the security and the fears and the concerns that there's no way to try these kinds of cases in civilian court. It went totally according to plan.
Well, I guess the thing here is that Gottlieb does feel, though, to some degree, the government find itself plagued by the legacy of New York's collective post-traumatic shock in the form of certain provisions they took that were unusual, John. Keep in mind that this jury was anonymous, and also they got a secret court order to intercept some phone calls between Gottlieb and his client. Here he is talking about this anonymous jury.
There was no need for an anonymous jury here. It creates an artificial tension and pressure that adds to that level of fear that we were always concerned a jury would feel and could possibly affect their verdict.
Bob Henley, I'm concerned. Why would a defense attorney make that argument? How would it affect the verdict, having an anonymous jury?
Well, part of the basic precepts of our legal system is a public trial. And for purists like Mr. Gottlieb and for strict constitutionalists, the idea of having a jury of your peers who are publicly known is all part of that. I think he may have a point. We'll see. He's going to use this on appeal. He believes that there's ample grounds for appeal. But as he pointed out, at least this appeal will be happening in the civilian criminal court system,
right,
which will bring transparency.
Okay, finally, before we go, two things. Number one, what's the question of sentencing? You've mentioned the possibility of an appeal. And describe the nature of this attack as we learned the details in open court.
What we do know is that because of the fact that Majidian was convicted on every single count, he faces life in prison.
Right.
Unlike the two co-conspirators who actually took a deal with the government and will basically have their sentencing be up to the discretion of a judge. That happens on September 7th. There was a little bit of a hapless aspect to this bombing conspiracy because we know that Zazi, for instance, lost a page from his bomb manual, so they already had downscaled it. What we did get an insight into is how he traveled around out in Colorado and looking for health and beauty aids that they knew they could get muriatic acid and begin to come together with the basics for a bomb. And so that was eye-opening and chilling. And again, these folks brought their own money. One of the things that came out is that Madun Janine actually gave $3,000 to Al-Qaeda like a fantasy baseball camp.
Wow. That's so fascinating. You know, the haplessness and the relative incompetence of these bombers is one thing, but one thing you cannot argue about based on this court testimony, these folks were committed, right?
Right. They were through Anwar al-Awlaki, the telegenic American-born radical cleric killed by the U.S. drone strike, John. They were totally engaged and involved with his narrative, and that's trouble for U.S. security.
Bob Hanley, contributing editor for Politics and Investigations for our co-producer WNYC, on the conviction of Adis Madun Janin, a 28-year-old naturalized U.S. citizen born in Bosnia who attended high school in Queens, convicted on all counts of terrorism in federal court in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.